Well, we're continuing our series called How. I thought it'd be great just to take some time and just talk about how to put feet on our faith. I'm afraid that oftentimes that in American Christianity, it's more about theory than it is about practice. And so I thought it'd be good to just talk about the seven most, the seven things I keep hearing people asking me about over and over again. And so today we're going to be talking about how to make sense of your dollars. Now you can breathe. This is not going to be a beat you up giving talk, you know, so just relax. But I do think it's really, really seriously important that we understand the fundamental ways in which we relate to money and wealth and all of those kinds of things. Because let's be honest, I don't know about you, nobody taught me this stuff. My parents didn't teach me, I think because they didn't know. I mean, you can actually live a lifetime and have no clue as to how to relate to money. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we live in a country so abundant that even stupid people can eat. That's not bad, is it? I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, some of you are like, well, you stupid people should die. No, I don't think so, because you might be in the crosshairs of stupid one day. You can wake up with a reeking case of the stupids and not even know where it came from. So, just saying. Listen to this profound statement from the scriptures. What you're going to find today as we walk through this is how profoundly practical and current scriptures are that were written thousands of years ago. Proverbs 13. A pretentious, showy life is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. Isn't that interesting? That's still true today, isn't it? I mean, how many times this morning, for example, I saw another on Yahoo Sports this morning, another Detroit Piston who has filed bankruptcy. I mean, I'm talking about the basketball team, not the factory, the basketball. In spite of making over $187 million in their lifetime, they have $1,000 in the bank. I got more than that. Just saying. That's pitiful, isn't it? Did you know in the NFL, when you retire, you have over 50%, something like 57% of the guys who retire at the NFL are broke within 5 years. That's sad. I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, to make a little money. It's another thing to make a lot of money and not keep it. Right? Listen, I'll say this more than once. Money doesn't come to stay. It comes to go. You just get to give it an address if you're smart. If you're not, there's another. I saw this with some of you. Have you seen this? The new Stephen Baldwin, you know, the Baldwin brother that's now a Christian. And they put up a website now to save Stephen Baldwin. I thought he was already saved. I didn't know. But he's claimed bankruptcy a couple of years ago. And then there's somebody out of Florida trying to, you know, get everybody to give some money so he can, you know, come out of bankruptcy. Hey, you know, I don't, you want to give the money? Hey, yo, whatever. But isn't it interesting that, you know, a pretentious, showy life is a simple life, is an empty life. A plain and simple life is a full life. The rich can be sued. Now, you don't think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Yeah. The rich can be sued for everything they have, but the poor are free of such threat. Isn't that cool? Sue me, dude. What you getting? You know, a couple of bologna sandwiches. I ain't got no money. We even have invented a term for it. You can't get blood from a... Seneca, the great ancient philosopher, said this, money has never yet made anyone rich. This is very, very true. One of the reasons is we don't understand it. We want it. We want more of it, but we don't know why. So let me give you five fundamental truths about money that will help you make a foundation. One, money is amoral. When I say that, I mean money is neither good nor bad. Now, I was raised believing that the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The scriptures don't say that. This is what it does say. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. A couple of years ago, for my son-in-law Steve's birthday, my daughter, Erin, being the sweet girl she is, decided that we would all go to a shooting range and shoot stuff. I mean, what's not good about that? I put a Glock in my hand and I shot it, and the first thing it did is come back and hit my thumb. I thought I was going to die. Stupid people should not be shooting guns. Can we all agree on that? Stupid people should not have lots and lots and lots of money. Well, I don't know. I mean, a gun in the hand of someone who doesn't know how to use it is dangerous. Could we agree with that? Money is too. It says the pursuit of it without understanding what it does and how it works brings grief. Money is neither good nor bad. It takes on the character of the person who has it. So, second, money is neutral. Money is neutral. It is not prejudiced or preferential. You've been around people, we call them blue bloods. You ever been around a blue blood? Maybe you are a blue blood. And a blue blood in America is someone who comes from wealth. Their great-great-great-great-great-grandparents are wealthy and they've passed it on down. They have a legacy of wealth in their family. And we somehow look at people like that and we think, well, money must be prejudiced, right? Or preferential. It is not. Some rich people are poor and some poor people have great wealth. Well, then that means we have to look at the definition of what wealth is. From the scripture's point of view, wealth isn't just money. It includes it. It's not just things. It includes it. Not just land or commodities. It includes it. But it's relationship, joy, peace, a generous spirit. All those things go in to defining, from God's perspective, who is wealthy or not. So money is amoral, neither good nor bad. It is neutral. Here's the other one that you need to understand. Maybe this will help you. Money is active. Money does not come to stay. It flows. Listen to this. Cast, this is again out of Proverbs 23. Cast but a glance at riches. And they are what? They're gone. For they surely will sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. I mean, have you ever heard someone say, I've got, you know, I earn it and then it's gone. I've got more month than money. It just seems like I earn a lot of money and I pay taxes and this and this and it goes. Why? Because money is by its very nature active. It is not static. It is active. That's why a year and a half ago when the economy was collapsing in this country around the world, what did the governments do? They did exactly what they should have done. You can disagree or agree with that. They pumped money in to keep it moving. Money has to move. It has to come in. It has to go out, constantly moving. Now that introduces the four legitimate things. There are only four legitimate things you can do with money. You can earn it. You can spend it. You can save it. And you can give it. And you ought to be doing all four of those things, earning it, spending it, saving it, and giving it. That means that money is constantly, when we earn money, we call it what? Income. Now, let's be honest, when your outflow exceeds your income, then your upkeep becomes your downfall. Can we agree on that? This is not rocket science, is it? It really isn't. Money is amoral. It's neither good nor bad. It is neutral. It doesn't prefer, you know, educated people over uneducated people, one race over the other, one creed over the other. It is active. It doesn't come to stay. It comes to go, but you get to give it an address. Here's another thing about money that you might not have thought of, but money is honestly dumb. Money is dumb. How much better to get wisdom than gold? Well, really, just give me some cash. Do I want to hear a sermon? No, give me money. You know, money, 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 money. Hey, I can boogie. Don't think I can't. Okay. To choose understanding better than silver. Here's God's take. If you are wise, then money will be your friend. If you're stupid, then money will be your enemy. You see, money gives you choices, but not the wisdom to make them. Money comes, money goes. That's why you can make. I mean, I saw the other day another football or basketball player that had made over $222 million bankrupt. That's sad, isn't it? When we see this happen constantly. Here's the other thing about money that really helps you understand that phenomenon. And that is money is revelation. The Pentecostals among us have already said, really? Okay, good. Really? What? Money just simply reveals what's on the inside of you. You take an inner city kid who's uniquely gifted and talented, give him a football contract, and everything is cured because he's now out of the ghetto. He has a car and he buys mama a home. Not really. Because whatever weirdness, whatever addiction, whatever pain resides at the heart of that young man is only fueled by more money. Some of you are only good because you can't afford to be bad. Or at least your badness credit limit has been achieved. I mean, it takes money to be bad, right? You know what I mean? Seriously. Money gives you options, but not the character to choose them. Remember Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees. You know the other thing you need to know about Jesus? Jesus was profoundly gentle to the broken. He had no time for hypocrites. He would constantly welcome those who understood just how blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember Jesus said that? Well, he did. If you don't remember, he did. He said that. Trust me on that one. Blessed are the poor. Literally in the Greek, it literally, blessed are those who are bankrupt. Blessed are those who understand that without God, without his blessing, we're nothing. Jesus said in another place, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, the same will bring forth much fruit. That includes money. But the Pharisees, these were religious professionals who Jesus loved to wade into with a verbal axe. He told them one time, he says, you're the kind of people who clean up the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead man's bones. On the outside, you look good, but on the inside, you're full of greed and wickedness. I love what Billy Graham said. I quote, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of his life. And to that, I would say a hearty amen. Money isn't everything, but it is something. And it becomes an amplifier of what's really, truly in your heart. And if at the core of your being is the assurance that you were created by a good God on purpose for a reason at this moment, at this time, that your life has been graced and blessed, that you have been born to be blessed and you have been blessed to be a blessing. I love these people. Do you meet them? I don't know where they come from. I don't know if there's a church that does this or whatever, or someone, or a website. But I love being around these people who will say, instead of, hey, have a good day, nice to see you, they'll say, have a blessed day. I mean, in our society, that takes a little bit of guts, I think, don't you? Have a blessed day. What does that mean? It's just a blessed day. I'm assuming these are people who understand that the origin of joy and personhood and reality and significance comes from their creator, not from the things that they collect. Okay? All right. So, those are the fundamental. If you can understand those fundamentals of money, that money is amoral, it's neutral, it's not prejudiced, it doesn't come to stay, it comes to go, it's active, and it's a revealer of what's already in your heart, understanding that money is not a solution for anything, then you can begin to understand the power of money in your life. So, let's just divide the rest of our talk into two sections. One, you're deceived about money. If you take these ideas and apply them, you're deceived about money if you believe this. And then let's just talk about what the true power of money is. So many people are deceived by money because they think that money can make their life better. Now, it can't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But it's not a shoe-in. That's the problem. How many people do you know? Maybe you would. You are the one of them. If I just had more money, everything would be fixed. No, it wouldn't. Trust me. Whatever is broken now will just be far more broken with more cash. I know you don't believe me, but trust me, I'm telling the truth. Beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are nowhere closely related to how rich you are. If you are miserable now, you will be miserable with more money. You know why? Because it'll just be one more thing to worry about. Andrew Carnegie said, I've never seen a millionaire smile. And it is really sad. You see people who should be happy. They look like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. At least if you don't have anything, when they steal it, you can go, told you so. Right? You got stuff. You're worried about people. It doesn't make your life better. It doesn't make you better. We somehow associate more wealth and more rich in a certain zip code and a certain way of dressing. Well, this must be a superior, intelligent person. Maybe daddy owns the company. And they're dumb as a stick. We're all going to find it out. Here's the problem with this. Is if you are, for example, if you are a person of responsibility and you don't know how money works, you are going to hurt an awful lot of people. Going to hear an amen? I mean, let's just look at the fallout of these corporate debacles. Money wasted and lives broken by people handed a fiduciary responsibility for which they had no character or content to ever be able to bear. Amen. And so before you pray, oh God, make me the grand poopah of my company. Poopah? Do you not know what poopah is? That's a Greek for fourth member of the Trinity. Thought that'd be funny, trying to help lighten up the mood a little bit. Before you ask for more responsibility, you might ask for the character and the knowledge to know how to bear up under that responsibility. Amen? I mean, a bigger job and more pay is not always the answer. Money, if you think money makes your life better, you're deceived. If you think money will make you happier than you are right now. A couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about how to avoid dating or marrying a dud. Yeah. We're going to have to bring out seats and, everybody wanted that. But here's the one thing I'm totally convinced of. Don't marry a sad dog spreading gloom. In other words, don't marry Eeyore. It's bad, right? I've seen way too many smart, good-looking women trying to encourage a man who can't be encouraged because they're just miserable and they're spreading gloom. Listen, if you are unhappy where you are living in your mother's basement, get out. Do something. Work on you. Huh? Jesus encountered a guy, a rich man, who had stuff, tore his barns down in order to store more stuff. Because it is all about more stuff, isn't it? The guy said, I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I'll store my grain. And what did Jesus say? This day, your soul is going to be required. And everything you have is going to go to somebody else. You're deceived. You think more money will make you a better person or make you happier. And here's the other one that's really powerful. And that is you are deceived about money if you think money can make you independent and invincible. How many corporations that you and I, some of us have been raised up, that they were the gold standard, right? Of economic stability that went on the chopping block and got chopped up and are no more. How many companies can we remember as commercials who we can quote don't exist anymore? They're gone. In the blink of an eye, gone. There is no such thing as financial and dependence and invincibility. There is no amount of money you can make that life and circumstances can't take away from you. And if you fold over into the things that you think you control, your self-worth and significance, you will be miserable. For a man may do his work with wisdom, Solomon said, knowledge and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone else who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to upset some people. I don't mean to, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't know anyone. I don't have anyone in mind, so I'm not going to be going out looking at your car bumper today. I'll give you time to take it off. But have you seen these bumpers that have this bumper sticker? I'm spending my child's inheritance. I love you in Jesus' name. That's dumb. That is dumb. Hello? Can I say it one more time? That's dumb. You want to leave a legacy, do you not? A legacy of poverty? A legacy of unpaid bills? Do you want your children to stand over you 5 days after they buried you, figuring out how they're going to put you in the ground and pay for it? You've seen these, what is the Colonial Penn life insurance? You seen this one? Here's this dude, looks like he could work. He looks like he could work. He's retired. His cabinet door is coming off. That's on my to-do list. Lazy bum. What I thought when I shouted at the TV. Oh, my deliverers, get Colonial Penn life insurance. It's only $1 a year. It pays out $6,000, which is how much it costs to bury people. Have you buried anyone lately? $6,000 won't even give you a half a hallelujah for the choir. Going to bury them in a, you know, bag? Maybe a hefty bag. Maybe $6,000 will do it then, but not any place I've ever been. So if you're waiting for Colonial, you know, really, seriously, is this how we're going to live our life? We're going to live our life. We're going to make all we get, spend all we can, sit on the can, and spoil the rest. No, this is not who we are. Particularly if you are a Christian, okay? If you're nothing, I understand. Totally. I totally get it. It's your money. Do whatever it is you want to do with. But even wealthy people understand that with great wealth comes great responsibility to society, not only to God and to your family. We don't live this way. We're not people who say, I'm just going to live my life and waste my money and not leave a legacy. But we're also people who understand that money is no guarantee against invincibility. One day you're going to wake up dead. Really? You're going to be dying from something. And you're going to have to live. I have a buddy of mine. I thought it was really a powerful statement. We had him breakfast several months ago, and he'd been very successful, and he sold his company, And I just said, you know what, you're financially independent. What are you doing? He said, well, you know, one of the things I found out that one of my dreams has always been, before I die, to give away $1 million. And I said, wow, that's cool. He says, not only have I been able, he says, I found out through a trust and through designing in a certain way from my accountant, my attorney, that I could give away $1 million and keep $1 million. And it will continue to be giving away money even after I'm dead. And he said, I'm telling you, as of yesterday, this is 6-7 months ago, I've given away $1 million and I still have $1 million, and it's going to continue to give away money to causes that I care about and to the kingdom of God long after I'm gone. I thought, that's pretty stinking cool, isn't it? Wouldn't you love to be that kind of person? I've never met a person yet who wouldn't love to be generous if they could be. You guess what? If you don't have anything, you can't give anything. Novel idea, right? So let's talk about what is the true power of money. How do you make your money a powerful asset and blessing? First of all, money is powerful when you understand it is a tool. It is a tool that helps you get a job done. It cannot provide the job. Have you seen guys at Home Depot with that longing look, that spacey, long away look, looking at the grass, you know, at the lawnmowers or the power drills or something? They're just like, man, if I just had something to do where I could use that. This is what Jesus said. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man or a woman's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. The word consist there in the Greek literally means to hold together, to be glued together. Here's the truth. Money is a great servant. It is a rotten master. That's why debt is so devastating. Debt, ladies and gentlemen, is bondage. Are you with me? It is bondage. That's why the scriptures tell us to owe no man any debt except the debt of love. Now, is all debt bad? No, I would have to depart from my bro, Dave Ramsey. Not all debt is bad. But most of it is. The majority of it is. Maybe I even can say that. Maybe Dave will still love me. Are you with me? Money's a tool. It's a terrible master, a great servant. Second, money is powerful when you understand that it's a resource. One man gives freely, Proverbs 11. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. What is he talking about here? Investment, saving, making money your slave, not your master. A generous man... blank, prosper. A generous man, what? Maybe? Thought so? If the economy's okay? This is a promise from Almighty God. In the beginning, God created. How did he create creation? The Bible says that he spoke and it came into existence. In the New Testament, we are taught that it's by his thoughts and the thoughts of Jesus that we continue to exist. He thinks us into existence. He speaks truth into existence. And this is what he says. I decree that generosity begets generosity. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Again, only four legitimate things you can do with money. Earn it, spend it, save it, and you give it not in order to diminish your net worth, in order to increase it. Really. If you're generous, life will be generous with you. That's why we stay away from people who are in deep financial trouble. You know why? Because we're afraid they will suck us under with them. That's why it's so hard to build relationships with people when you're in trouble. Generosity is like a magnet. It magnetizes good, generous people to you. We love being around people who are generous, who can be generous. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And we're not just talking about money. For example, I know this sounds a little trite, but I gotta convince you of this. A smile is an act of generosity. How many people do you meet every day, you've not ever seen them crack a smile? And what are they telling you? Man, there's something going on inside that dude. I do not want to be sucked into the vortex of their weirdness. And you stay away from them. Who do you go to? Who do you move toward? Those who are smiling, those who are generous, those who are happy, those who are glad to see you, those, and they become infectious. Generosity begets generosity. I did a whole series on this last summer. Generous wins. Generous wins. When you're generous in relationships, people will be generous back to you. If you are mean and stodgy and stale and stuck up, when you're up and other people are down, they'll give you that very thing when you're down and they're up. And trust me, it always happens that way. Some of you are up and you're like, yeah, I'm sexy. I'm cool. I'm sleek. I'm stealth. You're stupid. And then, you know, but one day you won't be, right? You'll be broke and bloated and, you know. Here's what I found. What you give people when you're up and they're down is what they give you when you're down and they're up. And we all need help. Money is a great resource. It allows you to be generous. It shows that you're generous. One of the reasons we receive not only to help the gathering exist, but it's a part of what New Testament Jesus worship is. They, at the first day of the week, they gathered and they gave. They stored up in proportion to how they were blessed with their income, and they gave a portion. That, the giving model in the Bible is genius. I mean, if you make a dollar, you give 10 cents. You make $100, you give a dollar. Maybe it's $10. Some of you have been bad influence on me when it comes to calculating the tithe. You're saying, Margaret, he's looking right at me. You bet I am. If you don't give, you're the one who suffers. Trust me. I've learned that over the years. If you're generous, life will be generous with you. Money is powerful as a tool. So what work are you doing that you need a great tool? Little work, little tool, right? Big work, big tool. If you want to dig, there's a difference between dump trucks and teaspoons. Some of you are doing teaspoon work, and God is giving you teaspoon resources. You need a backhoe? You need backhoe? Get backhoe work. Enough said, right? Last one. Money is powerful and used as a tool, a resource, and it is a powerful witness or evidence of what resides inside your heart. Remember the story? You ever heard that when you were a kid, you go to church, you ever heard of Zacchaeus? Ever learned the story about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Savior he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for we're going to my house today. And we're going to a house today. Thank you, thank you. We got to get that better. Okay, come on. Well. Well, in the last service, it was like. Some of you still worried about the evil eye. I take that back. But you know the story of Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a Jew who contracted himself to the government, to the Roman government, and they basically had this deal: that we want this much money. Anything you raise above that is yours, and we don't care how much it is. So there was extortion going on. And so Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And he climbs up in a tree. And this is what the scriptures tell us. Jesus says, come down, because I want to go to your house. I want to have a meal with you, notorious guy. Zacchaeus heard, come down, and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the crowds were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of notorious sinner. So if you are a tax collector, you're a notorious sinner, right? They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, sir, now I give you half the wealth to the poor. And if I find I have overcharged, now you talk about a sense of humor. If I find that I've overcharged anyone, I will penalize myself, giving back four times as much. This shows that salvation has come to his pocketbook. When your pocketbook gets saved, you got a good dose of it. You know what I'm saying? Here is the evidence. You know what the evidence of a relationship with God Almighty through Jesus Christ is? An understanding of how money works. That you do not have to exploit others to get yours. Amen? You do not have to be a stick. Now, like, this is my brother. This is my little nod to my bro. A stingy gut. I'm thinking my brother, you know, invented that. Did he? Have you ever heard of that? A stingy gut. This is what he would call me when I wouldn't give him my stuff. You're a stingy gut. Well, no, it's my stuff. I know people who live life that way. It's my stuff. I earned it. It's mine. It feels good to earn, doesn't it? But it also feels better to understand that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. That everything I have is a gift from God to me. It comes to me and it flows through me. Right? Because I understand that money is amoral, it's neutral, it's action, it's a revealer of the heart. It's a great tool and resource to show the world that something has happened in my heart. That I do not have to be a bondage. I do not have to spend my way into significance. Don't have to do that. The price has already been paid. I already feel valued and loved and cared for. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the gold besides. Jesus says, don't worry about anything. The lily of the valley don't clothe themselves, but they come up and they look glorious. How much more valuable are you than they? And that is it, isn't it? If you don't feel valued, you feel at risk and you grab. If you feel valued, you feel at rest and you give. Father, yeah. Woo! It's good to be born again. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for these sweet, wonderful people who have the power of creativity, the power to earn, the power to bless, the power to spend in ways that bless others so that they can bless others, I pray for those who are leaving a legacy, not just of wealth, but how to do it right, how to leave it right, how to love it right, and how to hold it loosely. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. The heart is a blue, shoots up through.